Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so good to see you guys all here this morning. And if we have any visitors here this morning, welcome. I know how it is to be like a stranger at a new church. You feel like you're on the outside looking in. But just so you know, if you're Christian, if you're baptized, if you're a believer in Christ, you are on the inside here. We are all in this together because we were all baptized. And in that baptism, we receive faith and forgiveness. So let us begin our worship service. Remembering that day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come into your presence today. We come into your presence not as an amazing act on our part, but Lord, because you've made it possible for us to be your children and to be welcome here. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, as we hear your word to understand it and to digest it, Lord, so that it can be used by your Spirit to continue to grow us in our faith, Lord, as we continue to live out the lives you have given us. Lord, we thank you for all of this, and we ask that you would speak to us in this service. In your name we pray. Amen. My friends, let us now confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake forgive all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, we have been forgiven once again. Let us sing praise to this God who loves us so much.
your suffering, for your anguish and your sorrow, humble King. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord, for your victory, for your triumph. I will worship you. I will bless your name forever. I will worship you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, bless the Lord. I will worship you. I will bless your name forever. Yeah.
Good morning. My name is Steve Mangrum, one of your elders. Today's first scripture reading, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people of other generations, as it has now been revealed to the Spirit by the Spirit of God, God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the ministration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. This is the word of the Lord.
Sermon text for today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their own country by another route. This is the word of God for today. It is now time for the children's message, so children, come on forward. Mrs. Armbruster has the message for you today.
Good morning. Happy Epiphany. Did you know we were going to celebrate Epiphany? Can you say that?
Epiphany.
Epiphany. How are you guys doing? Today we are going to talk about some people and some gifts. How many of you got a present for Christmas?
I got multiple.
Did you? You're a lucky guy. How many of you gave somebody a present for Christmas?
Me.
Cool.
I have a Gabby Playhouse.
That's amazing. So the people we're going to talk about today are these guys, and I wonder if you know who they might be.
These men?
Yeah, these are the wise guys. So the, oh, I'm sorry. These are the wise men.
We have one flipped around backwards.
Do you guys have, thank you. Do you guys have this, some guys that look like this around your Christmas decorations? Did you have some?
We took them all down.
You took them all down?
Me too.
Yeah, took them all down. But they'll come back out next year, right? So can you guys say Magi?
Magi.
Magi. So these guys were probably really smart. They were probably kind of wealthy. They probably had some money. And probably a lot of people knew them. And they brought three gifts to Jesus. Do you guys know what they are?
Gold, frankincense, myrrh.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I thought we would talk a little bit about those presents. Now, the first one, I think you probably have seen before. So gold could be coins.
Yeah, coin.
It could be jewelry.
I know, amazing.
Could be decorations. Could be chains. So that's one of the gifts. How many of you knew what gold was? Most people know what gold is.
I can mine for it in my creek.
You could mine for it in your creek.
If there's black sand,
I wish I lived at your house.
No, I've never found any, but.
So the, oh, well, keep looking. So the next one is frankincense. Can you say that?
Frankincense.
When I was little, I thought Frankenstein had something to do with frankincense, but he doesn't. This kind of looks like frankincense. Frankincense is actually kind of a waxy, gooey stuff that comes out of a tree, and it's kind of gooey and sticky, and when it hits the air, it gets hard, kind of like wax or a crayon.
Does it smell
a little bit? This isn't real. It's kind of pretend frankincense, but that's what it looks like. And you would burn it to make your house smell good or to remind you that prayers were going up to God. So that's frankincense. And then we had this other stuff. And this was called myrrh. And myrrh kind of looks the same. It comes from the same place. No, don't tell. But it looks like that. And it's sticky when it comes from a tree, and then it gets hard. And you know what they used to do with this? They used it when they would bury people. They would use it for medicine. And they also used it to brush their teeth and mouthwash. I know, kind of gross. But these were important things that the Magi gave baby Jesus. But there's something even more important that they did before they gave him these presents. Did they think Jesus was special?
Yeah.
They did. Did they think it was important to spend time with him? Yes, and they came from a long, long way. They gave up their time to come and worship him. Did you hear Pastor Bob say that?
Yes.
They bowed down and worshiped him, and then they gave him the presents. So the most important thing was they came to spend time with him and worship him.
Even though he was just such a little baby.
I know. Kind of hard to figure that out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus is important?
Yeah.
Yeah, why? Because why is Jesus important? What do you think?
Because he's the one who died on the cross for us.
He is the one that grew up and died on the cross for us to forgive us from our sins. And then he rose from the dead so that we can be in heaven with him forever. That's pretty important, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you think it's important to spend time with Jesus and worship him?
Yes.
Yes. And that is the best gift that you could possibly give him. So no matter how smart you are, how important you are, or how much money you have, the best gift that you can give to Jesus is your worship. And that's what you're doing right now, just like the Magi. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, thank you for being my best Christmas present ever. I love you. Amen. All right. You guys get to go to little worship with Mrs. Landgraf. She's right back there. And happy Epiphany.
There it is. Well, happy Epiphany. You know, tries to explain who I am today is as a child, we moved a lot, okay? As an adult, I moved a lot, too. I guess I just move a lot. And the thing is that we go from place to place, and the one thing that's really weird is when you first show up at a new place, right? It's a new neighborhood, a new school, just getting to know everybody from scratch because they all know each other already, right? And what you realize is that they already all have friends. And now I've got to figure out how to work my way into all of that. And you know, the thing is when you work into a new neighborhood, it takes time, you know? It's one of those things that, you know, they'll be polite to you at first, sometimes, most of the time, you know, but nevertheless, you don't know any of the inside jokes, right? You know, whenever something happens at school and they say, remember when, you never remember when. You're not on the inside of anything, but stick around long enough and you will be, right? Because eventually people will tell the stories of what happened before, and you might not remember it, but you'll at least remember what happened then. And you'll start to make friends, and you'll start to have memories with people, and eventually you just become part of the bunch, and it's just kind of a wonderful thing. But until then, it's just awkward, right? Well, in the Old Testament, we had this thing that God set up called the scandal of particularity. Isn't that a great word? I love words. That's a lot of syllables all in one word. That's kind of fun. Anyway, but the thing is about the scandal of particularity is this. There was once a man named Abraham, and God came to Abraham and he said this. This is from Genesis chapter 12. And if you're reading the Bible along with a whole bunch of us here, you've just read this last week. And so we'll let Jake get up. He's the one that's organizing all this. I'll let him get up later and tell you all about it. But we just got done reading this, and it says, the Lord came to Abram, before he became Abraham, and he said, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Okay? And we start with that. And what God does with Abraham is from his children, he creates this great nation, right? It's Abraham, then Isaac, then Jacob, then Joseph. Joseph takes his family to Egypt to save them from the food shortage. What do they call it? The famine. That's right. And they go to Egypt for the famine, and Joseph takes care of them there. But then a new Pharaoh who doesn't know Joseph takes over, and he puts the children of Israel in bondage. And he puts the children of Israel in bondage, and he enslaves them, and he makes them make clay bricks. And then God sends Moses, and he takes those children of Israel out of Egypt, and he puts them in, they, you know, because of their disobedience, they spend 40 years in the wilderness. But then finally, God takes them to the promised land, the land that's flowing with milk and honey. And this people who wasn't a people become a people, become a nation, because God fulfilled the promise that he made to Abraham. All right. Now, weird thing about this is you were either born one of God's people or you were born not one of God's people. And the weird thing about it is that there were a lot more not God's people than God's people. I mean, how many nations were under God? How many nations were not? All the rest. That's a lot of people. And so there's this scandalous thing that's happening in the Old Testament where God has these people chosen for himself. And they are to keep themselves separate from the world, not allow the world to taint them. But they are supposed to be the ones through whom God would fulfill the rest of the promise that God makes to Abraham. Because right after this, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the peoples on earth will be blessed. Well, there's a lot going into that now, right? I mean, because all of a sudden, now the children of Israel are in the promised land, and we go through the period of the judges, where, you know, God just raises up judges occasionally to free the children of Israel from trouble, and then later he went into the monarchy, and then after that was, you know, after, you know, you had Saul and David and Solomon in the monarchy, but then, you know, Solomon's kid, Rehoboam, kind of dumb. He doesn't like, then there's Rehoboam and Jeroboam and the divided kingdom because not everybody would follow Solomon's son. And then we go on with 40 more kings in the north and 40 more kings in the south. It just goes on and on. And where is the blessing that God's promising? We're waiting. And then finally, the northern kingdom gets wiped out by Nineveh, and the southern kingdom gets taken into captivity in Babylon. And then they come back out of captivity, and they rebuild the temple and rebuild Jerusalem. And they rebuild the country. And where is this blessing? We're waiting, you know? And then God continues to reveal truth to his people through all the prophets until the last prophet, Malachi. And then there's 400 years of radio silence. And then Jesus comes. And it's funny because the word epiphany is kind of like the word for revelation. It's kind of like, look, it's here. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of funny that we wait to use this word epiphany until the wise men show up. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there have been a few epiphanies already, right? I mean, wasn't it an epiphany when Gabriel comes to Mary and says, guess what? You're going to be the mother of God. You know? I mean, when he comes to Joseph and says, don't disregard, you know, don't put her away. Keep her. She's the child that's in her is from the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be you got an important job in this. Wasn't that an epiphany? And it wasn't an epiphany when the angels appeared to the shepherds in the field. That seems kind of epiphany-esque to me, don't you think? But for some reason, we wait for the epiphany until the wise men show up. And the question is, what is that all about? I mean, what exactly is being revealed? Well, what's being revealed is what we read in the first scripture reading for today. In Ephesians, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body and sharers together in the promise of in Christ Jesus. Here's the thing, guys. I am so happy for the promise that God gave Abraham. That last fraction of a sentence, it really means a lot to me. Because I'm mostly German, you know? And that's not the same as the Hebrew people or the Jewish people, right? Which means that if Jesus had only come for the chosen nation of God, I would be in trouble because I need Jesus. I'm sinful. I'm a mess. I need tons of help. I need God to guide me through every single day just so that I get to where I need to go and say the words I need to say. I am not able to do this all on my own. And thank be to God, I have Jesus. And I have his Spirit. And I have the promise of the Father that by the work of Christ, my sins are forgiven. This is unbelievably important because, once again, going back to the theme of the Christmas story where God does everything wrong, you know, remember we talked about the third shift shepherds, you know, the low of the low of the low, that Jesus or that God sent angels to announce. He didn't go to the king. He didn't go to the religious leaders. They went to the people who had such a low reputation that they couldn't even testify in court. That's who God sent the angels to. And what did those angels do? They bore testimony. As they left the Christ child, they went out and they bore witness. They told everybody what they had seen and heard. So God did that kind of wrong, you know? I mean, God did it wrong picking Mary. She wasn't rich. She didn't have any advantages. She couldn't send Jesus to any kind of great university. You know, he picked Joseph. He's just a carpenter. You know, he's not like a great teacher or somebody who can really hone Jesus into the guy that God wants him to be. And when God does reveal this to somebody who's actually important, he reveals the coming of his son to an alien, to a goy, to an outsider, to somebody who isn't of the chosen people of God. Think about that. I mean, that's pretty scandalous. And so these people obediently, because God communicated to them through something that they were familiar with, right? These were the Zoroastrians. These were the ones who were like watching the stars and getting meaning out of the stars and stuff. And so God communicated with them in their language. And they obediently came seeking the Christ child. And when they found the Christ child, they worshiped him. You know, it's so funny. We don't hear anything more from these guys other than that they, you know, went home by another route, you know, so that, they, you know, because the angel came to them in the dream. We don't know what happened to them. These first Gentiles that came to worship Jesus. But this was an epiphany. This had to say something big because these strangers, these aliens, these goy, these people who were not the people of God came and God included them in this salvation. Folks, there's a lot of people out there who feel out on the outside. You know? There's people out there who feel on the outside because they used to go to church and something happened and they're hurt by it and they don't want to be a part of that or they don't feel comfortable with that or whatever, and they're feeling on the outside. And the question I have for you is this: did Jesus come for them? And if he did, then what is our responsibility? To talk to them, to tell them, right? To seek them out, to find them. There's people out there who are on the outside because they feel guilty because they did something wrong and they just feel like they don't really deserve to be in church or deserve to be in God's presence or deserve a relationship with God. And did Jesus die for them? And if so, what's our responsibility? There's people on the outside because they've never seen the inside of a church. They grew up in a non-churched family. They never went to church, just not really an option, not really a thing. And they have a lot of really unusual ideas about the kinds of people that go to church, you know? I mean, just take a step back in a moment and look at the world objectively, like anybody can, but do your best. And imagine that the only place you've ever heard about Christians is Christians. All you know about Christians is what's in the news and what's in movies. Would you be comfortable going to that church? But did Jesus die for them? And what's our responsibility? There is no scandal of particularity anymore. All people have been redeemed by Christ. All people are loved by Him. All people are people that God wants to have redeemed. And He is doing His part. I mean, He is working in this world. He is giving us opportunities. He is giving us resources. He is giving us relationships. He is giving us everything that we need, and He is saying, now go and talk. And you know, there's a temptation right now that, you know, if we just go out there and live good lives, that's enough of a witness. But is it? Because if these people don't know God's grace, if they don't know the message of forgiveness, if they don't know the gospel, will us just living good lives near them communicate those truths? And so we actually have to speak. And it's scary to speak, isn't it? You know, there was a time I could not speak in public. I simply couldn't. It was hilarious. It was the first day of, speech that we had to give at seminary. It was a sermon, and I wrote the whole sermon, and it was 6 pages, double-spaced. And then the professor told us about a week before, you can't use the papers, you have to memorize it. And I said, okay. And I got up there, and I very confidently did the first page and a half. And that was it. There was nothing left. Speaking is hard, but practice overcomes the hardness. Just doing it over and over again and faithfully speaking over and over, guess what happens? It becomes easier. You become better at it, and you can do the job. And so what I have for you is this. There's nothing magic about this. Sharing what God has done for you in your life is nothing more than saying what God did in your life. If you don't know what God did in your life, I don't know who else is going to be able to tell you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jesus came to you. He came to you. He brought, the Spirit brought faith to you, and through that faith, you received the forgiveness that Jesus earned on the cross. And because of that, we love Jesus and we want to do the things He wants us to do. That's it. That's the message. Go tell it. And I know it'll be hard, and I know it'll take some time. But the thing is, the world is dying to hear this stuff. You know, we're surrounded today by so many things that disturb us. You know, we're surrounded by the slide in morality and the slide in culture and the slide in a whole bunch of things, aren't we? And it just like we want all of these things restored. We want that stuff fixed. But the question is that really our first priority? Because here's how it actually is going to work. If we just try to force everybody to live the way we want them to live, we're not really making any progress, because that's just law. That's just bossing people around. And that's not actually what Jesus was about. You know what Jesus was about? Loving people, bringing them to faith, letting the Spirit of God change their hearts and make them into something that they weren't before. To take somebody who runs from God into a person who runs to God, converting them, making them new. Our job is to share the gospel. Our job is to love. Our job is to care. Our job is to speak the truth, you know, and let God do the work of changing hearts. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are so good to us. And you have revealed yourself to us, Lord, to be the one who came for all. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds, Lord. Lord, it just grieves me that you died for the sins of all people, but not all people will be saved because not all people have faith to receive the gift. Lord, help us to be faithful as we share the message that brings salvation, so that your Spirit can do what your Spirit does in delivering faith and rescuing us. Thank you, Jesus, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let us stand as we confess the faith that our God has revealed to us and has been put into the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me with all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. My friends, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we thank you that you have made us your children and brought us into this incredible salvation, made us part of your church, Lord, and have provided us, Lord, with all that we need to support this body and life. And not just the earthly life, Lord, but the life that will go forever. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work through each and every one of us, Lord, so that more people can have this life. And that those who have the life can be encouraged in it. Lord, all this we pray in your name. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with those who are struggling in our congregation with health issues, Lord. Lord, I pray for Linda Dane, who just had heart surgery. I pray that you would just be with her, help her to continue to recover. Lord, I pray that you would bless her, Lord, with health and bless her family as she heals as well. Lord, be with our teachers in our school. It's such a wonderful and difficult challenge they have, Lord, instructing the young and teaching them not just the faith, Lord, but so many things about the world that you created. Lord, I pray that you would help them, that you would give them patience and as they continue to work with the kids. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the kids with open hearts and minds and the desire to learn, that they may just continue to absorb all that you have given us. Lord, all these things we bring to you today, and we thank you for making it possible for us all to be back here together. In your name, we also pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Sin was great, your love was great. wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. Silence the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory, for you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names. What a powerful name it is, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ my King. What a powerful name. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Christ has come. We showed up at the table, but he came. We had a time where we were able to receive his very body and blood as he has promised us, and through that body and blood received the forgiveness of strength, life, and salvation. So as we know our God is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song, Because He Lives.
I believe I overcome.
See here. We have a few announcements today. First of all, Samantha Grace Soul is being baptized after the service today, so keep her in your prayers and her parents. They're the ones who are going to be missing out on sleep. Life Team is having another seminar where they're going to be teaching health decisions for seniors and their families. It's going to be on Saturday, the 21st, from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock a.m. All this information is in your bulletin. If you would like to come, please sign up at the Connection Center and bring a friend. There was a first part to this already, but they said the second part makes sense without the first part, so you can jump in whenever, and it'll be good. Let's see here. What else do we have? Bible studies. The women's Bible study led by Kim Becker starts next week, not this week. But the adults, we will be meeting in here after the service. And we're going to be talking about gender issues, marriage, all that kind of stuff is where we're going to be heading. And we'll be there for a while. And other than the 22nd, there's going to be Life Sunday. And on that Sunday, then the pastor... what's his name? Mike Ziegler. How do we forget his name, right? He was a field worker here way back, and then now he's the speaker of the Lutheran Hour. And so he's gonna come and speak for us on Life Sunday, the 22nd of January. And he's also going to teach Bible study, so that'll be real fun. All right, with that then, also the kids, high school, middle school, children, you guys all have Sunday school today too. Jake. You want to come forward and talk? Okay, here's the deal. I'm going to give him a little wind-up as he walks up here. This guy is a really good organizer, unlike me. And so what he's doing is he's basically setting it up so that all of y'all can read the Bible together. And with that, I'll let him tell you.
Hey, everybody. I'm Jake Petrie. I run the youth with Jackie Langley on Wednesdays for any high school kids who want to come join us, 6 to 9. But also, I do want to invite you to Bible reading, really, that I've been doing for a few years now. I think this is my fifth year going through it. But before I do a formal invitation, I want to tell you the why of this. And I think Bob hit something really nice in his sermon that I really liked, and that is that Mary and Joseph were nobodies. He was talking about that. God did it wrong. They were nobodies. Why would they use nobodies? Well, God has kind of a habit of using nobodies. He's very good at it, in fact. He uses nobodies all the time. And I want to be used by God. It seems very exciting to me. In fact, standing up here fills me with excitement. I'm vibrating because I'm a little hyperactive, but also because I'm excited to invite you to this, to talk to you. And God uses nobodies. And so I got that down. I'm a nobody. All right? That's easy. I got that. But on top of that, I want to be used. So how am I used by God? Well, that's a good question. How do I get used by God? God, how do you use me? Well, I think the first thing that I like to do is put myself in a place where I can be used, right? If I want to be called on in class, I'm going to raise my hand. That's the first thing I do. I'm going to do something to put me in a place to be called upon. And I think a great way to do that is spiritual disciplines. And there's a lot of them. I bet you a lot of you know my youth group could probably do them in their sleep because I kind of beat them over the head with them as if it was a 2x4, right? You can read your Bible, you pray, you fellowship, you serve, you tithe, you fast. These are all things that we do as spiritual disciplines, or that we should be doing as spiritual disciplines, right? Being part of a church, giving ourselves to other people. You know, this is something that a lot of the kids I believe is that you go to church, you receive a lesson, you go home, and you process that lesson. No, that's a selfish use of church. That is church for you, right? We adopt these spiritual disciplines because we can be used for Christ. So we go to church to get involved in other people's lives and to serve other people's and to give ourselves. So this is what we want to do. And how do we do this? Well, we do our spiritual disciplines. And I started by accident about 5 years ago. My friend Brad Hartman invited me and a bunch of my friends. If those of you have been here longer, we all used to sit up here and be really loud during service 20 years ago or so. And he said, let's read the Bible this year. We're going to read the whole thing. And I said, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. And we did it. We actually somehow did it our first time together. And I think there's a level of competition between us, right? You can't fall behind because then you look like an idiot, and no one wants to look like an idiot. So we read it through the first year, and then I said, you know, I want to do this again. This is really interesting. And I did it again. They moved on to other readings, and I did mine. I invited my dad and my uncle and my family members and a few people. I'm reading it now with people like Terry Weiss and Mike Gates, and even Abby Stewart in my youth group is doing it with me, and it's fantastic. And so what we're getting to do is we're reading the whole Bible in chronological order every single day until December 31st. And I've done this now. This is my fifth year I've done this. And it takes a lot of effort. That's the thing about spiritual disciplines. Spiritual, a lot of people think the word there is spiritual. That's the important one. No, the difficult one is discipline. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of active resistance. There's a lot of active resistance against you doing it, right? We naturally don't want to go through it. You have to fight to get through it. Every day you have to do it, and it's really hard. But if you make up your mind, you do it with people, which I want to do it with you, and maybe you want to do it with other people, and that's fine. But if we can do these things, pray, read our Bible, I would love to do it with you. Let me give you some advice if you want to join me. I will be in that corner with a bunch of donuts and a glitter bomb of children. Just come and ask me to add you, and I'll get your name or your phone number, and I'll send out a message, and I can invite you. But let me give you some advice if you want to join me in this, because this is something worth doing, because when I first did this, it wasn't actually until my second year when something changed me. Now, I've been here my whole life. I've been here longer than Pastor Bob's been here. But on my second year reading the Bible all the way through, something clicked. I knew my Bible well. I knew the answers, all the Bible answers. I sat in church every week. I went to youth group. We were there all day Sunday. We were there Wednesday. We were probably there 2 or 3 days in addition to that. I lived in church. But it wasn't until I was 30 years old, probably, and my second time reading it through, just something just clicked. And ask my wife, something changed in me. And I don't know what it was. I don't know when it was. I don't know why it was. All I know is that I read my Bible every day for a very, very long time. And something changed. And now I'm up here, and I get to talk to you, and I'm fiery, and I'm shaking a little bit, and the blood's rushing to my head, and I'm getting all excited. And I want you to feel the same, all right? So I'll wrap it up. Meet me over there. Let me invite you to my Bible reading. And let me give you this one last piece of advice. When you do this, don't worry if every day you can't hear it and process it to the fullest extent. It's better to passively hear it read to you in the background than to fall behind because you wanted to make sure you read it perfectly. You're not going to read it perfectly. Miss a day or two. You know, let it read, process it in the background of your mind if you can't focus that day. That's fine. Because it's better to hear it passively than not at all, right? And with that, I'll give it back over to Bob, guys. Thank you very much.
Teach me to give him a microphone. Anyway, no, I'm kidding. Thanks, Jake. That was awesome. That was really good. Folks, God's blessings on your week. I hope everybody got back from vacation and didn't have any undue excitement on the trip. And don't forget, we're going to stick around for Bible study after this as well. All right. Blessings on your week, folks.